The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sabine Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to The Next Room with Jane Asher, where death is dinner conversation. Jane interviews experts from all facets surrounding the journey each and every one of us will experience one day. The topics range from grief, wills and trusts, hospice care, right to die issues, memorials, cultural traditions, and the afterlife. And now, your host of The Next Room, Jane Asher.
Welcome back. It is always a good day. When I wake up, I give thanks, and I know that today is a day that I am privileged to introduce you to another very intriguing human being. I'll introduce my guest in just a moment, and you are in for such a treat because she is extraordinary. First, just let me tell you how grateful I am. Last count, we were up to 18 countries. Thousands of downloads each week, and it's growing and growing and growing every single time I sign on. So I just want to welcome you to The Next Room and let you know a little bit about why this podcast exists. Years ago, my best friend passed away, my mom. And in my just crazy, nuts, unexplained grief, I went into a deep dive. I tried to figure out where it is that she had gone and how I could communicate with her. And I kept talking to her the whole time. And then very interesting things would occur. And I would start to get signs and I would be able to hear her. And she was leaving me things like dimes. And so the podcast was kind of born from her leaving and my grief and somewhere where I could park it and also then turn around and interview experts on grief, dying, death, hospice, green burial practices, cultural traditions surrounding death, pretty much to just peel back the Band-Aid and talk about death and make it a comfortable topic. And so that was the podcast. And then all of a sudden, the idea came to write a book, and I wanted to write the book with my mother in spirit, and that is when it got super interesting. So the Next Room book is our book. She is my co-author. It is available everywhere you find your books. In the United States, if you want an autographed copy, you can come through the website. So thank you for joining the community. Facebook is growing every single time I go on. We're a rising creator because of all the shares that you're doing with the content I'm posting. The YouTube channel, just nicely getting started, but it is starting to grow. I'm on Twitter, which is now called X, if you want to follow me there. LinkedIn, pretty much anywhere you can find The Next Room with Jane Asher. So I'm really grateful that you're along for the ride. Okay, my guest, that's enough of Jane. I am so excited. I was invited to be on Beyond the Reiki Gateway podcast, and the guest or the host of the show is Andrea Kennedy. And she is, wow, I have to say, probably one of the best interviewers I have ever met. And I have been in broadcasting for 40 years, and a lot of people have interviewed me. And of course, I interview people every week. I was learning from her because she is so skilled at listening and extracting very interesting information out of her guests. So immediately while I'm on her show, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to have her on my show. So she is joining me today. Her podcast is called Beyond the Reiki Gateway Podcast. You can find it anywhere. I encourage you to download it, sign up for it, do all of that. She's also the founder of Mainstream Reiki, and she is an absolute delight. Welcome to the next room. I am so happy you're back from Egypt and you could join me today.
Oh, well, Jane, first of all, congratulations on your show and doing so well and people sharing it so much. And I have to say, what drew me to you was that focus about peeling away the issues surrounding death and that fear, because I, you know, that lives close to my heart. I just feel that if we can shed those fears around death, I think everything changes, you know, for us personally, but also in the world, really. So I am delighted to be here. You're so kind. I just did go to Egypt, but I guess maybe we can get to that in a few minutes because, what do you want to know? I mean, Mainstream Reiki, I guess maybe it all starts there, right?
Yeah, I would love it if you would explain to the Next Room listeners your interpretation of what Reiki is, because I know many people use it. I have a lot of friends that have it daily. I have had it and had benefits from it, but I know a lot of people don't know what it is and how it works. And so in your words, because you are a master in Reiki and certified and you've done all the courses, I would love it if you would take a little bit of time and just peel back that curtain and tell us exactly, in your words, what Reiki is.
Oh, yeah. So Reiki, when you ask a person what Reiki is, you'll get all kinds of answers, because Reiki is at its core very, very simple. But through Reiki practice, so much can happen, so much growth, so much healing, so much awareness. And so sometimes Reiki people have a hard time explaining it. And how I explain it in a very mainstream way is it's just simply a technique that reduces stress so that a person's body can naturally find balance through relaxation and healing, because our bodies are quite miraculous, as you know, and they have an intelligence, a wisdom, and we get stressed. We go through things in life, and so we can get off kilter. So we have life force energy, that's our aliveness, and it flows in and around our bodies. And we know this as chi or ki. And ki is just the Japanese word for chi, which a lot of people are familiar with chi, like tai chi and qigong. And so ki is Japanese, and that's that second half of the word Reiki. The first half means universally guided. And so this is a special kind of life force energy that we're talking about. This energy knows how to help you. It has this incredible wisdom to it, which is very unique, because when a Reiki practitioner offers this energy to themselves or another person, or even animals, it is really the best situation if the practitioner steps aside and gets out of the way of the energy, because that energy has that intelligence, has a certain knowingness about it. And the person or the animal, their energy system has a wisdom. And so as the practitioner, we generally will utilize our hands lightly on the body or off the body, or we can even do it over distance, but I know that that's a whole nother chapter perhaps. But what we do is we administer, or we offer, the vibration of this life force energy that's in perfect balance. And that invites the life force energy of the person or the animal to actually entrain with, or we'll say be guided back to that balance. And it's really quite remarkable. I say mainstream Reiki, that is who I am out there. And that's because I came to Reiki through science, which surprises a lot of people, because Reiki sounds woo-woo, you know, and odd and weird and all of that. And it's, as I said, a little hard to nail down. You know, you really need to experience Reiki, I think, to get a better understanding of it. And I was very mainstream. Again, I have a bachelor's in physics, and I thought this was crazy. I totally did. But the only thing that I guess got me hooked on this idea of Reiki was my curiosity. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just was curious. And a family member was visiting, and she was talking all about this thing called Reiki. And I was just intrigued, but also kind of shaking my head about it, because it just sounded too weird, you know? And that's kind of where it all began, you know, just that curiosity.
I love that. Curiosity is, it's just such a nice attribute, you know, to be curious about everything, humanity, and what drives us and our life force. So here you are coming from a very sciencey background. You've got a degree in physics, and you're curious, and you get turned on to this. So then did you just do a deep dive? And because when you Google Reiki, you come up everywhere. I mean, and you are kind of the guru of mainstream Reiki, because you are taking this, which arguably could be super woo-woo, and a lot of people are like, it's energy healing, what's that? And you're just like, no, it's been around for centuries, and you're trying to bring it in to the mainstream. So how long have you been practicing?
Yeah. Well, that curiosity that afternoon led me to have an offer from my family member. She said, well, I could teach you Reiki level one before I go home. And I thought, well, I mean, in all honesty, Jane, I actually thought, I'm not doing anything else, so I might as well, you know. So, yeah, I didn't really have any expectations, but that's what we did. So we spent a few hours together, and my husband actually took it with me. And so we did this little impromptu class. That was back in 1995. And so if we kind of rewind things, the world was so different back then, wasn't it? We had, the internet was nothing like it is today. We had very limited books on Reiki, or there was like nothing out there. And she was the only person on the planet that I knew did Reiki, you know, or knew Reiki or could teach it. And in all honesty, we did this little class, and Reiki's a little different because we do an experiential sort of kind of like a meditation, I'll say, in the class. And we call it an attunement or a placement. And just to make it very simple, it's just a meditative type experience that has the result of tuning in the person's own energy system to the vibration of Reiki. So remember the radio dials, you know, in the car or whatever, and you'd turn the dial and the little red line would tune in. So you could pick country, or I never picked country, but you could pick country if you wanted country music, or, you know, pop or classic rock, right?
Sure, the frequency.
Yeah, a frequency. Well, that's what we're doing with Reiki. And so you don't learn Reiki simply by reading about it. You need to have this tuning in process happen. And then once that happens, I then would call you a practitioner, because we're just practicing. Doesn't mean you're professional or anything. It just means you practice with it. And that attunement changes your energy system so you can tap into that energy. And then you can utilize that energy for your own healing or helping others. And so we did that together. It was in 1995. And I have to tell you, I felt nothing. I felt nothing. And that was simply an indication of my mantra back then, which was, I think, therefore I am.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to see things to believe them. I was very skeptical. I was not aware of my inner experience, you know, like my sensitivities to energy and things. You know, to me, energy was something completely different than what I was learning about with this thing called Reiki. And so I didn't feel anything, but there was one thing that was so remarkable to me. And that was, if I practiced offering Reiki to my husband, he could feel things in his body. He would say, oh, my body's warm under your hands and you're not even touching me. Or your hands are at my shoulders, but I feel a tingling in my stomach, or I feel movement down my legs. You know, he would tell me these things. And I'd scratch my head and I would just think, what on earth is happening? And so little by little, I opened up more to the possibility that there was really maybe something to this, even if I couldn't put my finger on it or have a direct experience myself. You see, the energy just works and it doesn't depend on the practitioner, which to me is one of the reasons this is so phenomenal. Any person can learn it. Any person can benefit from it. You don't even have to believe in it. You don't have to believe in any certain spiritual concept or religion or practice. We're alive. We have this energy and we can work with it. And it's just really that straightforward.
See, I love that you are breaking it down and not making it this weird, mystical thing.
Yes.
And really showing us that it can indeed be mainstream, and that each of us, like as you're describing it, I'm like, ooh, I want to practice. And I feel that each of us is a healer anyway. I feel we all have the ability. You know, maybe I don't do Reiki, but it could be listening or just being that rod of communication that someone needs to have, because we are just energy. We're all balls of energy walking around in human form. Talk to me, Andrea, about the benefits of Reiki and what one might expect, because I've heard a lot of people with different dis-ease within their body really have a tendency to lean on this practice.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Reiki is, we call it a complementary therapy. It is not a replacement for, you know, medical care or psychiatric care, but it goes beautifully along with those things. I mentioned earlier this relaxation response. And so, I will say in short, to put it very simply, the benefits of Reiki mirror those of meditation. There's a lot of common benefit there. And one of them is relaxation. As I mentioned, scientific studies on Reiki actually have shown that Reiki shifts the nervous system from the fight or flight mode to the rest and restore mode. And that is huge because, and again, remember I said meditation. So isn't this interesting? Because a lot of people out there say, well, I can't meditate. You know, I want to have the benefit of meditation, but it's too hard. I don't know how. Imagine just simply placing hands on yourself and intending to engage with this energy, to tune into this energy, and then receive the benefits that way. So it's in a way a practice that we can do through action almost and have the benefits of Reiki. And so what we see physically is the body can restore itself. The healing mechanisms that we all have are supported, because when we're in fight or flight mode, it's all about survival. You know, and so we can't have a body that's really taking care of all of its needs when it is under stress. And we're under stress all the time. And so we need to shift that nervous system to that relaxation and restoration mode. You know, one of the analogies I use is, you know, think of your house. And if you overschedule yourself and you're running here and there and everywhere and you're just too busy, what happens? You don't vacuum, you don't wash your dishes, you know, and those are kind of like the healthy, vital functions of a house. You know, you have to keep it clean and, you know, do that kind of thing to have a healthy, good feeling home to live in. But when you relax, when you start canceling your obligations and you can spend more time, downtime, I'll say, then you can get to the dishes, then you can vacuum, then you can take care of the chores that help make your home healthy and happy. And so that's what we're really doing when we're under stress versus in a relaxed state, the sympathetic and parasympathetic modes of the body. So, and lastly, I'll say, you know, there are benefits that are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. People have had results in every avenue of life. I mean, and I know that that says a lot, but PTSD, disease, you know, such as cancer. Now, we don't say that Reiki is a cure,
sure,
but some people have had that. But it's always helpful. And it's really remarkable because I just can't think of anything that describes these benefits and how varied the benefits can be, like Reiki. I just, it sounds too good to be true. And you know, what's the rest of the saying? Then it probably is. But with Reiki, it really is true. It really is.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm very intrigued because a couple things. When you said it's a complementary practice, I really enjoyed that. And the shifting of energy from the fight or flight to rest and restore. Boy, don't we all need that. And also the analogy of keeping your home in order, not just your dwelling, but your physical home. You know, we have to take care of everything. It's not just about cleaning toilets. It's about, you know, cleaning your heart and your mind and getting right. So it is a meditative practice. And so many people are so confused about meditation. I can't meditate. It's like, you can meditate when you're vacuuming. You can meditate when you're walking your dog. You can meditate sitting in a chair doing absolutely nothing. That is a meditative state. And I think that it gets a, you know, everybody's got the guru cross-legged up on a hill, you know, meditation for 7 hours when they don't eat. Yeah, there are hardcore meditative states, but there's also waking, walking, talking, just being with nature in meditation. That's incredible. So what is your favorite part? Is your favorite part to actually be a practitioner and utilize the skills that you have learned with Reiki on other human beings? Or do you would you rather teach the practice to others?
Oh, that's a great question because, you know, I have done probably thousands of sessions with people and with animals. And what I would say is I learned so much through that practice, but I never thought I would teach because I thought, ooh, what a responsibility. And, you know, so I was intimidated back then, but people kept asking me. And so I started to teach back in 2006, and it went well. And so I did find out I really loved it. The joy of teaching for me is to help people find a better way for themselves. You know, possibilities open up for people when they learn Reiki. And so I actually don't see clients individually for Reiki sessions anymore. I do channeling one-on-one for them. So I tap in and actually channel guidance for them. So we do spiritual mentoring type sessions. My joy is teaching Reiki, the actual teaching. And before the pandemic, I taught in person. And, you know, now I teach online. And people might say, well, that can't be as good. And I have to tell you, I think it's better for what I'm teaching because everybody is in their own environment. So they're relaxed, right? And if they had to travel or get up early and come to class and be physically present, you know, what? How are we all there? How, you know, we're kind of self-conscious, you know, sitting with other people. And Reiki is very healing. And so even in a class setting, what we cover and the different exercises and the practice that we do together, even online, we can do all of it. I will tell you, there are times when people release. One example is I had a student and we were online and we did a healing experience in the class. It's sort of like a meditation. Well, all the students turn off their videos and they mute. And when we came back from that and I asked anybody to share if they wanted to about it, she said something I didn't expect. This was early on in my online teaching. And she said, I'm so glad that we're online. And so I was a little perplexed by that. And she said she didn't expect it, but during the meditation, she felt a huge upswell of grief that she'd been holding on to for years. And she let it out. And she said she sobbed and wailed and, you know, cried, all of this. And she said, I would never have allowed myself to let that go if we were all together in person. She said, I would have held on to it because I wouldn't want to disturb the other people in the class. And it was in that moment where I realized, wow, this is really powerful no matter how we gather. So whether, you know, and I, to be honest, I don't even teach in person anymore. And one of the reasons for that is I have students from all over the world. Yeah. All right. Over the world. They have found me through YouTube. And so we gather. And isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? This that technology.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening right now, and I have obviously a nice international audience, it is beyondthereikigateway.com, which is where you can find her, find out all about her, plug in. You can find her on YouTube. She's got a great podcast and offers these courses. I love the story about the gal who let go, because a lot of times, too, we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to start bawling and losing it or sobbing because we're afraid we're going to scare someone or they're going to think, oh, look at that person. She's so weak. And here she was in the comfort of her own home online, being able to let all of those deep feelings out. And, you know, it's like that old phrase, you got to get it off your chest. You know, because it's, my dad would say, you know, a problem shared is a problem cut in half. So the other thing I'm thinking about as you're describing this, isn't that what prayer is too? Like when someone says, hey, send me some good energy, or would you please pray for my friend, or, you know, I haven't been feeling well, if you could focus on my gallbladder, or whatever. I do it all the time. I love to send people directed energy to whatever they may need. And I believe in that power, because it is, you know, we're all here and we're swirling around. Is it good news or bad news? And I think that if it's just news, and if we understand the power of the collective and what we are able to do together, it's amazing. So this is fun. I personally want to start practicing. So I'm going to sign up for one of your courses, because how fun is that? That I don't even know where you live on the planet, but I'm in San Diego. How fun that I'll be able to take a course and learn from you. This is great. Oh.
Yeah, I would just love that. I'm actually in Michigan now. I've lived sort of all over the U.S., but I am in Michigan. I'm near Ann Arbor, University of Michigan. But yeah, you know, you brought up a great point there, Jane. And that was, we all work with ki, life force energy, all the time. And remember, it's inherent. You know, that is our aliveness. So we have our own ki, and we can work with it. We can pray. We can send it. Yes, it's all energy. Now, the unique part, though, about Reiki, what I would say, is that we're not using our own life force energy when we offer ki to another person. So that's the difference, right? We're tapping into an unlimited supply of life force energy. And we're utilizing and offering that to the other person. And so all energy healers, so let me say that again, all energy healers use ki or life force energy in some way. What's different about Reiki is that we are not using our own, and we're not manipulating through our own decisions of what might be best, the life force energy of the other person. What we're doing is we're tapping in to that unlimited supply. Some call it source energy. I call it actually creationary energy, because I feel all possibilities exist in that energy. And you're right, it's been around forever and ever. But we tap into that, and that's what we offer. And so a Reiki practitioner doesn't get drained or feel maybe poorly after a session. Isn't that something? Because I think we've all kind of heard out in the ether, you know, energy people, or I don't know, practitioners of one kind or another say, oh, yes, I do this healing work, but I'm very drained afterwards. You know, I have to rest. With Reiki, it isn't like that. And we actually receive Reiki as we offer it. So it's a win-win situation. You know, another reason to love it.
Exactly. Well, shout out to Michigan, born and raised. I think we may have touched on that. I spent the first 22 years of my life in that beautiful state that I love so much. And I have a bunch of listeners in Michigan. So I think you're going to get a lot of people going to beyondthereikigateway.com today. Talk to me about this pilgrimage that you just made to Egypt, because I wanted to get you on right away. And you're like, well, I'm going to go on this spiritual retreat of sorts to Egypt. And I was like, let me know more.
Yes. Well, it's funny. 25 years ago, I went to Egypt.
Okay.
And I was in my 20s. I knew nothing, but I will just say the universe completely orchestrated with synchronicities my trip there. And it did change my life. That's that trip back then. That's where I received direct guidance to come back home and complete my Reiki training. So that was a turning point for me. And then, so that's exactly what I did. And then that was in 1999. So anyway, this trip was with a small group of people. I did not organize the trip, but another spiritual teacher that I know did. And so I thought, 25 years later, a lot has changed since then. So I decided I'm going to go. I didn't know what to expect. I did know it was a spiritual focused trip, not just like a regular tourist trip to Egypt. And we had a small group. We had 20 people in all, including the co-teachers. And it was great not actually having an expectation. And so in hindsight, and I've been back now, for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm still sort of processing it all. We got to go in very special private locations, temples, tombs that the regular tourist does not get to go into, because one of our co-teachers is based out of Egypt and actually knows the excavators, the pioneers there that are still excavating and finding things. It's remarkable. So anyway, given her connections and her relationships there, we got to go to some amazing, very private places. And it was in these places that we did a past life regression exercise in one of them. We did some meditations in others. And the energy was palpable. It was very vivid for me. I had very vivid experiences, hearing, seeing, feeling in my body, changes and healings. And a lot of people say downloads, right? But guidance, inspiration. And as I said, I'm still processing that. But in a nutshell, I would say that what occurred for me was really taking apart everything that I've built, you know, with Mainstream Reiki, with Beyond the Reiki Gateway podcast, with I have a membership community. So there are a lot of different things that I am involved in. And I was very busy. And then I go to Egypt. Totally different environment. Fish out of water, right? Which I highly recommend for people. You don't have to go around the world. Just get out of your normal routine. And what occurred for me was I really took all the pieces of everything that I've been working on and building toward. I took it all apart piece by piece. And I really looked at it and I thought, you know, what is my motivation here? What is my goal here? How do I feel about this? Is this a passion? Am I doing it just because I did it 6 months ago? Where am I with this? Is this built with integrity? Is this, I think you know what I mean. I just very much examined everything without assuming that anything had to remain the same. So it was very interesting for me. Very interesting.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It was a self-reflective trip. I think yes. I think it's key to do that often, no matter where you travel on the planet. To just really take a good look at what you're offering and, you know, your soul's purpose. That's a pretty big thing to hang on to. But boy, I'm so enjoying this conversation. You're just going to have to come back on so I can have you on again. I will put all of the links for everything, obviously, on the show page. It's beyondthereikigateway.com. Mainstream Reiki. And as you can hear, she's just a very soothing individual. And I am just so grateful that you would join me today on The Next Room. I do have a question for you. I love to ask individuals this. What is it that you hope, dream, pray is waiting for you when you finish this earthly trip that you're on and you cross over to what I like to refer to as the next room?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I think when that time comes for me, I want to Wow, that's a great question. I think I'm just open. I really do not fear transitioning. I do not. I let that fear go many years ago. And I'm excited in a way. That might be kind of strange to say, but I'm excited to really finally see and experience what's over there, because I've done a lot of thinking about it, a lot of pondering about it, and, you know, talking to people with near-death experiences and things like that. And I'm just excited because I feel as though answers to things I've been curious about, I finally get to find those answers. And that is exciting to me.
Well, I will say that I have never had anyone say that they're excited. I think that's great. I love that. That's part of your curiosity too. It's like, although you're loving this portion of the program you're having right now, you don't fear it and you're excited to plug back into all that is. Thank you so much for joining me today. You've been listening to The Next Room. My guest is, I've been calling you Andrea. Is it Andrea?
Andrea? Yeah, I typically go by Andrea.
Andrea.
Yeah.
You know,
but
that's,
whatever you want to say, Jane, is
just Well, it's
just
funny.
Fine.
I know an old Andrea from high school, and then I have an Andrea. So it's like, I think, I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't mispronounce her name. Andrea Kennedy, beyondthereikigateway.com is where you can find her. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and for sharing all that you know and what you've been learning about this amazing energy source. It sounds very, very cool. And it really is lovely that you would kind of take it to the mainstream.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jane, you know, for inviting me. And, you know, I just think that we're in such a wonderful time on the planet right now. And more people are opening to new things and new possibilities. And so thank you for doing your show. And it's been a joy to meet you and to be here with you again. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for tuning in to The Next Room. I will be back again next week, God willing, as my mother would love to say. So thanks again to my guest, and I will post all the links so you can find out everything you ever wanted to know about Reiki, but perhaps were afraid to ask. And if you can do anything or be anything, please be kind. Thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you for joining Jane and listening to the show this week. Please subscribe and follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The Next Room with Jane Asher, where death is dinner conversation.
Hey, it's Radley Valentine. Join me for a brand new way of connecting with your angels on my new podcast, The Angel Tarot Show. Each week, you'll meet your angelic guides and guardians and find new ways to unlock unconditional love, tune into your intuitive abilities, and create the joy-filled life that, well, you've always wanted. Plus, you'll get a useful and timely energetic weather report bringing you guidance for the coming week. Tap into the healing, hope, and guidance that's all around you on the Angel Tarot Show, exclusively on mindbodyspirit.fm.